Welcome to Sacred Leadership. I am Sigrid Tasias, leadership coach, author, medicine woman, and entrepreneur. And you found the podcast where conscious leaders discuss and explore topics around modern business, ancient wisdom and spirituality, personal development, and success strategies to help you bring more depth to your leadership and create the life and business of your dreams while serving humanity and the earth. Today's episode is someone that has a lot to say about success, and yet I love his perspective of success and how he can be so addicted to success while still looking after his life and making sure everything he does feels in alignment with his values. Joel Brown is the founder of the number one motivation website, addictedtosuccess.com, and has achieved over 224 million views worldwide over the last 10 years. He was offered multiple million-dollar offers for his website and turned them all down to continue to grow his company. Joel has a social media following of over 2.7 million across all social media channels, and he travels the world teaching more than 10,000 people how to stand in their vision for success, so that they can turn their dreams into reality. Joel is featured in the new movie Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and he is also the host of the Addicted to Success podcast that has achieved more than 3.4 million downloads, featuring thought leaders such as Tony Robbins, Deepak Chopra, Jay Shetty, Les Brown, Gabby Bernstein, Gary Vee, and many more. Joel is skilled in the area of self-development coaching, NLP, speaking, and mindset coaching, and he has built multiple six-figure online businesses and million-dollar brands, and is skilled in building massive online communities, monetizing online brands, and networking with the world-class elite, which has positioned him in a unique place of high demand when it comes to coaching others on what it takes to be in the top 1% online and offline. So in this episode, we spoke about the definition of success, what's his definition of it, the shadow aspect of being addicted to success, and how to make a good thing of it, how to remain in alignment with your values, with the things that make you happy, instead of try to climb an invisible ladder like we learn in corporate, and many different aspects of that journey, how to tap into our creativity and authenticity in entrepreneurship to build fulfilling and successful brands, how to get clear on your life and business vision, and many other juicy topics that we dove into, and where Joel offered many tips for you to redefine your idea of success and help you win. So I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. And keep on listening as we dive right into it. Joel, thank you so much for being here and making time to joining me in this episode. I'm very, very excited.
I'm excited to jam out with you. Thank you so much for bringing me on your platform. And I am excited to share my wisdom with your audience. Thank you, Sigrid.
Such a pleasure. So I shared many things about you in the introduction already. So let's get right into it. As I shared in the intro, you are, I guess, amongst other things, many things, the founder of the number one motivation website, Addicted to Success, that has achieved, already down here, it was like 224 million views worldwide over the last 10 years, which is a big achievement. And it tells me that you are very passionate about success and helping others get there. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about how did you get to find this passion? Like, what got you addicted to success?
What got me adicto al éxito, as you say in Spanish, because actually we have a website called Adicto al Éxito. It's the Spanish version of Addicted to Success.
Really?
Yeah, I started a couple of years ago, you know, because Spanish, I think, is like the second or third widest spoken language in the world. And I wanted to reach more people with the content. And that's really why I started it. You know, I wanted to bring together a community of like-minded people that aspired for more out of life. And that's why I started Addicted to Success. And 10 years ago when I sat down in the room with Jordan Belfort, the Wolf of Wall Street, I mapped out my 10-year vision. And in that 10-year vision, I wrote down I was going to reach 10 million website views in 10 years. And obviously, we have, you know, 25 times that goal within the vision. And, you know, I say we because it's not just about me. It's about the whole community and the movement. And mm-hmm. I think what really gave it the trajectory and that I guess, the spreading like wildfire in the way that it did was the fact that people love to feel inspired. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to feel like there's hope. They want to feel like there's something out there that they can experience that's more than just what they already have right now. And it's interesting because some people say to me, oh, addicted to success. That's not good to be addicted to success. And now I look at it like, well, we're all addicted to something. We might as well be addicted to something that brings us growth in some, you know, positive form. And we really need to define what success means. Mm. And so, you know, that's what happened for me. It was like, wow, like if I could define that and then find like-minded people and we can then really come together and amplify the message of there is so much more out there that you can live, experience, achieve, and break through, that's when you really start living a fulfilled life.
Yes, definitely. And I love that you brought that up about that people saying you shouldn't be addicted to success, because it's something that I know a lot of people may think. You shouldn't be addicted to success. You shouldn't be addicted to money. You shouldn't really be addicted to anything, but it's about redefining what that means to you. So what would you say success means to you? How would you define success?
Success to me, because one of my highest needs is growth and one of my highest values is self-development. Oh, actually my top three is self-development, business, and contribution. The way that I view success is to live in your potential as often as possible. Mm-hmm. That's success. Like, you know, I've had the money come through and done really well financially. I've done well with my business. I've traveled a third of the world so far. I live in beautiful Bali, Indonesia. You know, I'm surrounded by incredible friends and family. I have, you know, incredible, beautiful people in my life. But ultimately, growth and creation is the thing that just really sets my soul on fire. If I'm creating something and sharing it with others, I know that that's my genius and my sweet spot. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I really look at as like, if I can do that more often than not, then that's me winning in life.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And one thing I've noticed from following you on socials as well is that you emphasize or share a lot about your epic lifestyle where you eat healthy and work out and live close to nature. And like you say, spend time with people that inspire you. So thinking about the old paradigm of business and even thinking about the days where I worked in corporate, if I was to think about someone addicted to success, I would assume they had no life. And all they did was work and focus on growing their assets. You know, that stereotype of the guy that climbs the corporate ladder. So right. Why would you say it's so important to focus on daily practices that help you feel good in order to truly succeed, to achieve true success like you defined it?
Yeah. Look, I look at it like this, like success is a habit. More of what you do is more of who you become. And it doesn't happen overnight. It happens in the decisions that you make each and every day. And I interviewed Tony Robbins on my podcast and I asked him, how do we live a better quality life? He said, to live a better quality life, you got to make better quality decisions. Mm-hmm. But the question is, how do you make better quality decisions? We're not born into this world knowing how to make better quality decisions. We get into life and experience things and commit to things and to test things and experiment to get to the point where we start to make better and better decisions because we have learned from our failures and our mistakes to course correct, to make even better decisions, to be able to get us to that, you know, destiny or destination that we desire to go to. And that's really what it's about. And, you know, you said you see me, you know, my lifestyle there with the eating healthy and working out and around nature and everything. I came from corporate. 10 years ago, I was in, you know, the ivory tower on the 26th floor, killing it in sales with my suit on and my fancy watch and my shiny shoes and, you know, looking over Perth City in Western Australia, thinking this was it. Mm. And the more I got into self-development, reading books and listening to tapes and going to conferences, I started to realize like, wow, there's more out there that I can do. And I fell in love with traveling and I fell in love with hearing other people's stories and seeing people break through. And then, you know, I had my breakthroughs myself, and I started teaching branding and marketing because I was able to build a successful business online. And then I started getting asked to speak at events. And as I was teaching people the strategies for branding and marketing, what I found was that it was no good unless people had their mindset right. Mm-hmm. And so I had this journey of diving deep into myself and committing to mentorship with high-level transformational coaches and having mentors that could guide me through the transformational process. And that's when I came out realizing 80% of success is emotional and 20% is mechanics. Mm-hmm. So if we can get the engine that drives the show, the mindset, right? You can do so many amazing things in this world. You know, so I just really looked at like, what is my environment like? Where do I want to live? How do I want to live each and every day? What do I want to fuel my body with? What do I do to really form and mold my mind, body, soul, and spirit in a way where I'm able to live an optimized life? And Bali is an amazing environment for that. Your environment has a 40% effect on your mental state, whether you believe it or not, you know. So I surround myself with things that inspire me most so that I can live an inspired life, so I can inspire others to the highest degree possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And I love Bali, and I agree. And I guess when I hear you talking about this, I think of the people that are still caught up in maybe knowing that that's true, maybe knowing that they have to shift certain aspects of their mindset and their habits and the ways in which they choose to behave on a daily basis. But they might be so caught up in these old ways of how you achieve success and the things that are important. And, you know, we come from, and especially for those of us that have come from corporate, these ideas that we have to all the time be hustling and competing and, you know, just being on the hamster wheel. So what would you say is the top three mindset shifts that people get to do in order to start living life in their own terms, like really creating success in a way that feels fulfilling, that is not just about chasing and going?
Yeah. So first things first, if you want to live a fulfilled life, it's really important for you to identify your values, right? Mm-hmm. What do you value most? What do you spend most of your time on, most of your money on? What do you love speaking to other people about? There's signals and signs as to what it is that you're here to do. And I believe that you're able to find out what are you good at, what do you love, and what solution you'll bring to the world. And if you pair this as well with the fourth question of how am I going to monetize this, right? Because you need money to be able to fuel the business, to fuel the idea, to contribute in some way, shape, or form, then in between the intersect of those answers lies your purpose. And you know, I really felt like I was living a fulfilled life when I started to really step into what I identify as my purpose, which is transformational speaking and coaching. And that may not be for you. It may be fitness. It may be you want to go out and be a yogi. It may mean you want to be a health expert, a foodie, whatever it is for you. You got to identify what are you good at? What do you love? What solution will you bring to the world? And then how are you going to monetize it? And then just connect all those four answers together and dive deep and make it your mission to experiment with that, to research that, to get mentors in the space that are, you know, performing well in that area, and just commit to understanding it. And I think a lot of people don't commit to understanding. It's like they know enough, but they're not willing to dive deeper into it to make it part of their life. They're making it an idea, not part of their life, and they're not embodying it. And it's a shame. Like, it's sad, because the moment I dived in and made my values and my purpose and everything that I love part of my life, that's when everything started to shift. So that would be the first one. The second thing I would say is you got to have a vision for success. You know, the vision is the overall arching theme of your life, your destiny, which is possible. And it's the thing that connects you to why you do what you do. And it breaks down what it is that you would love to achieve. And as you commit more and more to the vision and build that certainty and build that influence and breed more impact, the more and more you start to realize that you get to create whatever the hell it is that's in your mind. And all achievement starts in the theater of your mind. And I know this to be true because I teach the vision process. I've been teaching the 10-year vision game plan process for the last 7.5 years all around the world. I have most of my students achieving their third and fourth year vision within the first year. You know, so they're fast tracking their success. They're living with intention. They have a strategy. They have things to look forward to. It's like they get frustrated when they need to go to bed at night and excited when they wake up in the morning because they're just so excited to live in their vision. And you need something like that that gets your heart beating double time for life, you know? And I would say the third thing is committing to what I call, this is my framework, it's the four dimensions of excellence. And the first part is the values. Obviously, we talked about that. You know, if you're not in alignment with your values, I liken it to a garden hose. And if the garden hose has coils in it and there's water trying to come through it, what noise does it make? It goes like that, right? Mm-hmm. Your body is the same. It's stressed. It's under anxiety. It's under exhaustion. It's under frustration. It's the same thing. And as you come into alignment by sticking to your values and filling the values within your day, committing to them, what happens is you uncoil the hose and it starts to come out relaxed, right? And the water can flow through it. It creates flow in your life. And I'm really big on alignment. You know, I'm really big on that. And it's just even like identifying needs. What are my needs? I know my personal needs right now is self-love, focus and creativity. They're the three needs in my life that I really aspire to fill my day with, on top of the values of self-development, business, and contribution, because I know that when I am aligned with all of those values and needs, I'm crushing it on a level that I'm proud of, that I'm excited about. So you got to find like, what are the things that you fill your day with that you're proud of and excited about? And I do know, being realistic here, that you're going to have days where you're not able to function in them all the time, right? Your life is not going to be absolutely perfect. Don't set yourself up to live in a fantasy, because if you live in a fantasy, it will slowly but surely turn into a nightmare, right? So it's about being realistic. But if you can really start bringing in the alignment of understanding what your purpose is, of you know, what are you good at, what do you love, what solution you'll bring to the world, and how you're going to monetize it, and then you, on top of that, you have your 10-year vision, or your five-year vision, whatever it may be for you. And then on top of that, operating out of the four dimensions of excellence, where you've got your values, beliefs, habits, and skills, you become absolutely unstoppable. You become a force to be reckoned with.
Yes, I love that. And I know a lot of my clients and a lot of people I work with, or even people that I am in contact with through social media that comment on my posts or direct message me, there's a lot of people out there that know that this recipe that you just shared would really get them there, because it's proven and people like you are doing it and teaching people how to do it. But there's this deep sense of insecurity and unworthiness of, am I even worthy of creating that vision? Can I really do it? And I know a lot of people are caught up into these beliefs that it's possible for others, but not for me.
Right.
So how do you help people that have the vision and have the skills and know what they want to create for themselves, but they're self-sabotaging because they don't think they're worthy of all of that success?
Yeah. So there's a few things here. If we unpack this, it gets really interesting. The first thing that's going to come up for you, for the most part, because I know this because I teach the five-year vision and 10-year vision process all over the world, and there's patterns that start to show up in most humans. Like, it's like, okay, I knew that this is going to come up, right? The first one is fear of rejection. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have this fear of rejection. They feel like if they put themselves out there and it's not considered quality or it's not perfect, then they will be rejected, or they won't be accepted for the work that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you realize that when you commit to your vision and you really go in and you create all the detail within it and you start mapping out what would be most aligned, most exciting for you, the more that you actually sit and look at that vision, you realize that that's your own lane, that your lane is very different to everybody else's.
Yes.
That's the power of the vision. You know, I know that my vision is like no other, and it's exciting. And that's why I never compare to anybody anymore, because I'm like, their vision is so different. They're on a different path, they're going to a different space. Even if it looks kind of similar, ultimately by the end of my lifetime, it's not going to be the exact same vision. So it shouldn't be my business. You know, their vision is none of my business, right? And so when you come from that place of, I'm on a mission and I'm at a starting point that's different to everybody else's, you relax into it and give yourself a chance to actually commit to something that is far greater than where you're currently at. And, you know, if we could shift the perspective here, Sigrid, most people are living in the operation of this. 95% of their thoughts are the same as the day before.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You only think on average 5% new thoughts. But if you mapped out and had a strategy and you had things that you're excited about and you were aligned with your values and you were committed, what happens is you will find yourself living with more intention to the point where you move the new thoughts and the new ideas and new decisions and new actions to not just 5%, but 10%, which means now you've doubled your income, you've doubled your impact, you've doubled your network, you've doubled your experiences. You know, see how powerful that is? You have a life that is double of what you would have lived before. Mm-hmm. What's the alternative? The alternative is you don't map out the vision and you just keep bouncing around like a pinball in a pinball machine, becoming mostly unconscious through life and living in the daily rut and routine and the hamster wheel of life.
Yes.
And that's what I was doing in between when I dropped out of the music industry and then I moved to back to Australia and I was doing sales. I started to fall into the societal's game again. And, you know, oh, well, I guess the best that I could do is, you know, $150,000 a year in sales and live in the, you know, the ivory tower most of the time and, you know, might have to aim for my KPIs and my targets and drink 5 or 6 cups of coffee just to get through the day to make my sales calls. That's what my life was going to look like until I sat mm-hmm. down and mapped out my vision. And then I realized if you're listening right now, find your pain point, let your pain drive you.
Mm-hmm.
My pain, and this is interesting, you know, research that I read recently, because I'm writing my book right now on the whole vision process. And I came across this awesome study. It says that pain is 2.5 times more powerful than pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yes. Wow, if I can find my pain points, that's the thing that pushes me even more. And I did that a good 10 years back. And I did the math. I was driving to work 1 hour in the morning and then 1 hour back. And I added it up. It was 2 hours a day, 10 hours a week, 40 hours a month, 476 something hours a year that I was sitting in traffic wasting my life.
Mm.
And it just blew my mind. It was so much pain to me where I was like, I need to do something big here. I need to move to a different place. You know, change my physical environment. I need to start putting money into a business. I need to find mentors. Like I just was in so much action because of the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say if you're listening right now, identify your pain points, let that drive you and then map your vision out so you have that pleasure there that pulls you.
Yes. Yes, definitely. I know that was true for me. That's how I got out of corporate as well. I had so many ideas of moving to Bali, moving here, moving there, but it wasn't until I started to suffer from anxiety one day that I just was like, I got offered a promotion and I was like, if I take this, if I do this, I'm fucked. Trapped. And it was through that pain that I was like, okay, I got to get out of here. Yeah, that's super powerful.
Nice work, yeah. Sigrid.
Yes. Well, 5 years later, here I am. And
amazing.
Yes, when I was hearing you speak, I know that you support people, as you said earlier, also with building their brands and all of that. And I guess another question that I am asked a lot, or I see it all over the place, whether it's through my clients and social media comments, all of that, is people having these other limiting beliefs that says, well, everyone's doing it. Everyone's doing something similar. And I know you just said, you know, I'm manifesting my own lane and it's different to others. But I know there's a lot of people still caught up in how do I build a brand that is powerful enough while being authentic to what makes me different, right? And a lot of people get caught up into those stories of not being able to make the difference. And they may have found their pain points. They may have found the why they want to get out there. They may even see that they could be able to make it happen, but then that next limiting belief gets in the way. That is everyone's doing it. How do I create a brand that makes a difference or that isn't just like every single other brand? So why would you advise around that?
Well, I mean, there's a few things here, right? So the first thing is this, there's always going to be more students than there are teachers. Right. The other thing I would say is that if you were to check in with yourself, when it comes to your life experiences, when it comes to your skill set, when it comes to your wisdom, you're at a certain level in the industry that you're in. Let's say, who is the biggest person, would you say, in the self-development industry, Sigrid? He was like,
who is the biggest person?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know how to tell you anymore. Like a few years ago, I would have gone like, oh, Tony Robbins or, you know, one of those. But right now, I don't know anymore. How would you say? Who would you say?
Well, the first person that comes to mind is Tony Robbins. And naturally, I would say that most people would probably lean towards Tony. He stands apart like very well in the sense that if you ask who's second best, they're very far apart from Tony because he's just so committed, right? He's a machine. Yes. But let's say Tony Robbins is level 10. In the way of experience, skill set, and wisdom in the industry. Now, if I was to look at like my own personal, let's say career, if I could check in and be reasonable with myself, I'd say it'd be about like 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that because I know that life is a journey and I'm like, cool, I'm so excited to keep learning and keep expanding, right? And, you know, Preston and Alexi, I'd say will be around like 6 or 7, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if I can see that and then I look at the rest of the world, most people, like 90 to 95% of the people are level 1s or 2s at most. So if you're a 5, 6, 7, 4, 3, whatever, you now are able to support those that are on that level. And on top of that, you're also able to support people that are the same level as you too.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people keep thinking they have to be like level 10 in order to be able to have impact or be able to support others. And it's just so not true. Right. So that's one way that I look at it. And that's just like a philosophy in my mind and my perception of how I hold it. And that's what really allows me to just keep moving forward and not to compare and not to worry about where everyone's at. I'm just really like in tune and know that I'm here to impact others. Mm-hmm. The other thing I would say is that so many people are looking at being great, big online. They're so focused on how can I be so big? How can I have so many followers? How can I get so many likes? How can I get so many comments? That doesn't matter. Like ultimately, you see it. More and more people are building their accounts out and getting bigger and bigger followings and bigger reach and bigger, but they're all doing the same thing that is popular in order to build the reach because society in general loves certainty, right? They love certainty. They want to see something that's like popular and it's nice and it's likable in order to be able to build. I feel like maybe it's my entrepreneurship side, but I've got this inner rebel in me that's like, screw that shit. I don't want to be like that. Like I'm more inclined to go, how can I be as authentic as possible? And every day when I post, I challenge myself to be more and more authentic. I'm like, am I posting this because I know it's popular or am I going to post this because I actually feel like it's been a useful thing in my life and I don't give a shit if 10 or 2 people like it. If it's helped me, it's got to help someone else out there. Mm-hmm. And like coming from that place, honestly, is abundance. And abundance is a practice. Because when you have a scarcity mindset, you play it safe. Mm-hmm. I think you get to a point in your career, I don't know if you feel the same, Sigrid, I do too, where I'm at the point where I'm like, I don't want to play it safe. It's not fun anymore doing it that way. Like it's fun pushing my limits. It's fun putting out as what I see in the most possible way is truth, and then allowing people to engage with that and be like, yo, like what, how do you see it? Let's talk, let's engage, let's vibe on this, let's just jam. Mm-hmm. People love courageous creativity. They love when you put stuff out because it's rare. And I think the world needs this more than ever. Like this is a sensitive subject. Like for me, like I love that you brought it up. I'm so passionate about this because, you know, I coach a lot of branding and marketing up and comers. I coach a lot of speakers and coaches and teach them how to build their brands. And all the time I'm teaching them about coming back into their authenticity and their alignment. Because so many of them are tempted to go and buy the fake followers and the fake likes. And I'm having to like mentor them back into truth and say, no, like that shit doesn't matter. Like you can have the followers and the likes and all that, but like what's beyond that? Do you want people to buy your book? Do you want people to come to your events? So you can see them face to face. You can feel them breaking through their moments. Do you want to hear their stories? Like, do you want them to join your programs because you know your programs are the shit and they actually create transformation in that person's life, right? Mm-hmm. And I just think that so many people are stuck in the game. And if you don't know what your game is and your lane is, you fall victim to playing everybody else's game. I'm just not concerned with the game that's going on right now. Mm-hmm. I'm having fun creating from a place that's courageous. And I love hanging with my buddies that want to do, you know, videos where we talk about social commentary and like other things that aren't just self-development as well.
Yes.
Because I feel like there's so much juice in that. This is life. We get to live, we get to share, we get to step in and transfer wisdom from one to another. And I think that some people are just like, they're not getting it. Like they're really looking at it and they're stuck in societal's game of how it needs to be. And I feel like if that's it, there's no heart in it. You're going to lose that. That's the soul is going to dry up within that space. Like this is meant to be fun. This is mm-hmm. meant to be flow. This is meant to be connected. Yeah. And if it's not that, I don't want it.
Mm. Thank you for this answer. I really felt your heart in that. And I love that you brought all of this up through this answer because it's something that's been coming up a lot in conversation. Even just this morning, I was speaking to one of my clients and she brought this up, how she was like, I don't even want to show up on social media anymore because I feel like everyone's playing this game and I don't want to play along. I intuitively feel like I'm really noticing more and more people really seeing past that, seeing through this oversaturated market that the personal development can be in certain ways where everyone's just regurgitating information and repeating just the same thing over and over and over with different words. And I feel like people are really thirsty for authenticity. People are really, really asking to feel our hearts. And I think that's a process. What you described, it's a process of going from being a business owner or being an entrepreneur and just looking for the money, the success, the opportunities, the followers, to really stepping into our leadership and looking at how can I impact the world? How can I make a change as opposed to how can I have more money in my bank account and how can I have more people praise me? Which is such a huge difference. And I feel like people are really thirsty for this right now. And more people are waking up to, wait a second. Okay, we've known the personal development work to world to function in a certain way, but is that how we want to keep engaging in it? And I feel like more and more leaders are stepping up to this new way of actually, let's look into how we've been doing things and can we do them with more heart? Can we do them with more creativity? So thank you. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it's true. And you know, I like the fact that you hold yourself to sacred leadership, right? Mm. The word sacred leadership, like if you're not holding yourself to that, you're playing everybody else's game and no longer becomes sacred.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing. It's like people haven't clearly defined what it is. I call it chasing fucking unicorns. It's like you have no idea like what your success is. There's no definition of it. It's all relative. You're just bouncing around, like you're dancing with your own DNA, whatever consummate. There's looseness to that to some degree and it feels flexible, but I believe that there's freedom in structure and there's freedom in knowing who you are. There's freedom in being able to say, you know what? I'm not playing this game. Like I know like what really sets my soul on fire and I'm willing to expand with that and just share that. And I'm concerned for the space because I just see like more and more people are just copying each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've had it too, Sigrid. I've had some really big self-development leaders steal my quotes and share it and take my name off it and put their own name on it. And like, I used to get triggered by it. And I've just had to look at it like, you know what? That's all well and good. But the truth is, if I'm a creator, I'm 100 steps ahead of everybody else mm-hmm. that isn't willing to do that. And that's the juice, like to be able to create and to know, like when you're sitting there in that creation, I don't know if you've ever experienced this where you visualize something, like you had an idea and then you go and shoot video content or you put mm-hmm. something out and you're like, you're just so excited because you know it's this channeled thing, this thing that's mm-hmm. come from flow and you share it. And it's like, this is impacting someone to some degree. Like I've posted things before and then years later I had somebody come up to me like, yo, I love how you did that video. I love how you did it. It changed my life. I decided to leave my job and now, you know, I'm living this lifestyle, or like I went and created this business and now I'm, you know, serving these kids that were living in the hood, you know, and like these like incredible transformational stories. You just never know who's watching. You never know who you're inspiring. And that's such a responsibility, a duty, an obligation that we hold. And I just think if you're playing the game and playing it safe, you're falling in a cesspool and a saturation of everybody else. Mm-hmm. That's a tough game to play.
Definitely. And it's run through scarcity as well. Like I know this ties up to something else I want to ask you. I feel like so many people are playing this game because they're not clear on what they truly want. So it's never enough. I just want more likes and I want more comments and I want more money and I want more followers and I want more clients and I want to be seen in more platforms. But there's not a why behind it. There's not really the vision like we were speaking about before. So when it's never enough, you don't really know when to stop and smell the flowers, like actually enjoy your life, like actually build soulful connections. And you can get so easily caught up in this chasing and just trying to achieve the unachievable kind of thing. Yeah. And I feel like this is why it's so important to bring the personal development aspect and the spiritual aspect to business. Because if we're constantly looking at things just from the perspective of business and we don't realize what are some of our internal patterns that are at play, we can get into that loop of not enoughness thing. You know, and a lot of the times, once we realize that we are already enough, where we are, what we know is already enough, and that as long as we're living from the heart, we can create whatever we desire, we can really soften. And I feel like when we feel enough, we can be in a lot more integrity. People that do things like stealing your quotes, like you mentioned, and all of that, they're not bad people. They're not, they probably don't have bad intentions. They're just so caught up into their own stories of I'm not good enough that I need to go and steal someone else's work because whatever I've got to say, it's not enough. So how would you say someone, sorry, what?
That's exactly what's happening for sure.
Yeah. So how would you say someone can get clear about what exactly enough looks like when it comes to success so that they're not constantly, I know I am by default an overachiever. So I have to be very clear on what my goals are because otherwise nothing is enough. You know, I can like bring the moon down and be like, but what about the sun? You know, it's like, so I have to set myself up for winning and be like, okay, this is what I want. And I always exceed my expectations. But if I don't have a look at that, I can get caught up into this. Have to do more situation. So how do you get clear on what your short-term goals are so that you can constantly celebrate yourself and know that you're winning and making progress instead of feeling like it's never enough success?
Yeah. Sigrid, I feel you. I'm exactly the same. I'm an overachiever, a type A personality. Put it this way, it's really tough for me to do yoga. I'm sitting on the mat, like my mind's going 100 miles an hour. I'm thinking of ideas and I'm like, I don't want to hold the position because I'm like, let's keep moving. And it's like, I know I need it the most because, you know, my teacher says the way you show up on the mat is the way you show up in life. And it was really sobering for me to hear that. I was like, damn, you're right. Like I need to always be somewhere. I'm always restless, always creating. And so the thing that drives me, and this is really, this was a breakthrough. I haven't shared this before, Sigrid. If you don't mind, I'm willing to jump in and go vulnerable in this one. I was on a retreat last week, coming into the new year. Actually, it was 2 weeks back, coming into the new year. So I had 6 days. Usually I would go out and party somewhere, but I decided, you know, this year I'm going to enter the new year just cleansed, chilled, meditated out, visualizing out, breaking through and just entering new year in a new tone. And one of the things that came up for me in this retreat was understood why I've just been pushing myself so much and just always driving for a higher level. And I think there's a part of me, I don't know if you've ever felt like this, there's a part of me that's been scared to like let that go because I feel like that's the thing that's motivated and driven me as well. And I've had to create a new healthy relationship with it and look at it as I'm not losing my power. I'm only refining it and making it more pure. And one of the things was when I was younger, I would see my dad would launch businesses and he would fail within those businesses, you know, and he'd just give up. And I saw my mom going through that like financial stress and that anxiety around what are we doing, the uncertainty. And just really feeling within myself that I made this mean that my dad wasn't a man enough or my dad wasn't, you know, successful enough. And I remember, you know, at like 13, 14, my dad would make comments about like spending your money and he would say, oh, are you sure? Like, are you sure you want to take that risk? Like he would try and talk me out of like my ideas and I just wanted to be encouraged and supported. And so I remember one day he said, when you're older and you're my age, you'll understand, you know, why. Like I put these like limitations and I'm like, I will never be anything like that, dad. Like I remember saying that to his face, like I'll never be anything like that when I'm around your age. And it was such a driver for me. It was like, that meant so much pain to me that I wanted to go the complete opposite direction. And that was pushing me so much to be that overachiever. Because I was driving myself away from becoming unsuccessful. But in turn, what was happening was failure and mistakes were bad in my mind. I'm not good enough was literally like the running story. It just had different words of like, I don't have enough. You know, or I haven't achieved enough, or I'm not there yet. Like, these are the kind of the stories I tell myself. And you're right. And it comes in now and then. I'm conscious of it now. It comes in, but I use it in a way where it's like, okay, what am I not clear on when it comes to my vision? And what values am I out of alignment with in order for me to feel this way? Because I know when I'm most aligned with my values, which is business, self-development, contribution, when I'm committed to my 10-year vision and I have this is why I teach the 8 areas of life within the vision piece, which is business, career, finance, health, romance, physical environment, fun and adventure, family and friends, and self-development. When I have all those areas in play, I live more of a holistic, harmonized life. Therefore, I'm not feeling like I'm not achieving anything. I know that achievement is made in different areas of life and everything is touching everything. So everything's connected.
Yes.
So that really is the thing that like pulls me into the space of going, okay, I know that what I do have is enough and what I get to create is a gift. And I shifted my perception only a little while ago that that's the case. Before, I just always felt like it was never enough. And when I actually slowed myself down and focused on one project at a time and was present with it, I could actually be more grateful and appreciative for the fact that I was able to create that and I was involved with the people I was involved with to put this together in a way that I never had before. And I think that a lot of us are just so either in the future or in the past that we're not present with what's at hand. And the more present I am with my work now, the more I'm in love with it. The more present I am with my book writing process, the more excited I am to get it out. The more present I am on podcasts like this, the more appreciative and grateful I am for you, Sigrid, to even invite me to be able to speak to your tribe. Mm-hmm. You know, and then after this podcast, I'm going to walk away going like, man, that's freaking amazing that I get to start my day here at 8:30 in the morning, that I get to, you know, speak with you and have these stimulated thoughts about positive and amazing things. And now I get to start my day in that amazing positive tone and that flow. And I wasn't that guy not that long ago. I wasn't focused and present with what I had at hand. I think that that's really the key. And, you know, you hear a lot of these people say, you know, Dalai Lama and Tony Robbins and, you know, like Oprah Winfrey and all these like big leaders always talk about gratitude. It's so true. Being grateful for what you have. And I think that when I feel like I've got to keep going and going, it means that I'm not in gratitude enough.
Yeah.
So if this is you, practice your gratitudes each and every day. It's so powerful. It brings you back into the present.
Yes. Hashtag grateful AF. Definitely. I feel I do my meditation and my gratitude every single morning, and that definitely helps. And I noticed some time ago, probably like a year and a half ago or something like that, when I realized I was running through that pattern of it's never enough. And I was the queen of self-love. Back then I was teaching, I was working especially with people on self-love and self-confidence before I transitioned into leadership coaching. And still I found myself in that pattern. And what I started to do, actually, I changed my to-do list every day for a to-achieve list. And I could write down the tiny things. Like I would write down, obviously, like I woke up, I prayed, gave thanks, meditated. I made like a high vibe, like super good smoothie, put all these superfoods in my body. I went for a walk and I smelled like, you know, I went to the ocean. I had a conversation with my mom or caught up with a friend. Like I started to write every single little thing that I did that was adding not just to my business, but to my life. So at the end of the day, I could see, and even if maybe my pattern or my not enough default could run a story that I could have done more, I could look back in the list and be like, actually, I had an epic day. I connected with people I love. I appreciated the little things in my life, whether it was going for a swim or I would say going for a surf, but I don't think I can call what I do surfing yet. But I could go to the ocean and, you know, just really getting into that understanding that, as you say, there's so many different areas of life and it's not just business. And when we want to truly succeed, we get to tend to all areas. So thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And I have two more questions I want to ask you.
Let's do it.
Firstly, how can people find you and in what ways can people work with you?
Yeah. So first of all, head over to @IamJoelBrown on Instagram. I connect with my followers there a lot. I do a lot of live videos and post a lot of fresh new content. So if you want to connect on there, head over to @IamJoelBrown on Instagram. IamJoelBrown.com is my website with all my content. And you can also reach out to me there if you need anything in particular around, you know, the business, branding, marketing, even the 10-year vision game plan process that I teach. I have that as an offering as well. So you can jump in there. And then obviously addictedtosuccess.com. That's addicted2success.com. We have over 5,000 self-development articles and a lot of content on there that has helped so many people over so many 10 years now. So yeah, jump onto that. And YouTube, I'm starting to put up more videos on YouTube. So you can just find me under Joel Brown on YouTube.
Awesome. Thank you. And last question, last but not least. In your opinion, what makes leadership sacred?
Oh, what makes leadership sacred? Well, I think we live in a world right now where influencers are praised. And I think this whole thing of influencer, if we look at the title in our culture right now, it's somebody that's looked up to that has achieved a level of attention because of the things that they have and what they do. And if we look at leadership on the flip side, it's about who you are. It's the embodiment of being aligned to your integrity, your loyalty, your commitment to service and contribution. That's what a true leader is. And a leader is willing to go first or even go last if they need to in order to put their tribe first. And I believe that this in itself, because it is so rare nowadays, is so sacred. And I think to strive for this is so important in this day and age. It's everything that we talked about before about how people are showing up on social right now. If everyone was striving for sacred leadership, that authenticity, that vulnerability, that willing to go first, and just really willing to show up in a way where it is, I'm going to be as authentic as possible, even if I'm going to be judged. Like that there to me is so sacred. Mm-hmm. And that's what I strive for each and every day. And I love that you're putting this out there and that's what your focus is too, Sigrid. So well done.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for all your answers. Thank you for the work that you do. Thank you for taking the time to come and join me on the show. And I'm excited to share this episode with my listeners.
Yeah. And thank you for challenging me. I love the way you ask questions. I love that you are attentive, you're present, you listen, you're grateful, you're appreciative. This is really a great sign and testament to the fact that you are really practicing that sacred leadership. So thank you so much. Appreciate you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you loved it, please be sure to leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. That is of huge support to me, guys. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. And today I'm bringing in a very special invitation for those of you that have been feeling called to work with plant medicine. Plant medicines have been the biggest catalyst for my healing, growth, transformation, and empowerment. And seriously, I could not be where and who I am today if it weren't for the years I've spent working with and devoting myself to this path. And recently, I felt a call to make this available to those leaders that are really ready and willing to look at themselves like never before and connect to their mission and their power as leaders at a whole other level. So I spoke to my main teacher, who has been doing this work for almost 30 years, and I asked her to help me create a container for world leaders to have the most transformational experience of their lives. And then this happened. From April the 26th until May the 3rd, we will be running a deep dive immersion retreat with plant medicine for conscious leaders in Vanuatu. We're going to be taking a small group of people, and Vanuatu, for those of you that don't know, it's an island in the Pacific Islands, very tiny, little, amazing, incredible island where the experience will take place. So visualize plant medicine ceremonies, hikes in nature, epic waterfalls, amazing local fresh food, time to relax and integrate a community of epic world entrepreneurs, leaders that are committed to the same mission of finding how to best serve the world and amplify their impact. And some of the most transformational workshops ever on multidimensional leadership, wealth consciousness, and connection to your mission, as well as teachings on how to most powerfully manifest, how to connect deeper with the earth and its elements, and how to claim yourself as the leader, like true leader from within. The experience includes a 3-month program afterwards for integration and implementation. And this is so because after doing this work so deeply for the past 4 years of my life, I've seen so many people that see it in ceremony after ceremony, and they get incredible visuals and epic, amazing insights and all these things, but their lives never really match the potency of the teachings that they receive. And this is so because they don't put in the work to do the integration process that is required. There's all these people that have done plant medicine ceremonies, and they may even talk about it as if it was this cool thing to talk about, but there is not really an alignment between the depth of the teachings and insights they receive and how they show up in life, in leadership and business. So because I want all of you to access your most powerful space within your leadership, to really access your truly fullest potential and feel in alignment, feel in integrity, be fulfilled, I have created this program that will help you integrate and implement whatever the medicine brings up, whatever comes up through the journeys and afterwards within your life, leadership, and business. So again, this is not for everyone. Not everyone will be a fit for this. So anyone that is feeling called to this will get to have an interview with me so that we can decide whether this is the right thing, the right program, the right retreat for you or not. But what I can say is, if there's anything in you, your soul, your heart, your gut are saying, yes, I'm curious, please have that call, then it is definitely worth you reaching out and having that conversation. Because if this is something that your soul, yourself, is ready to do, it can be the one thing that transformed your life, your business, and your leadership forever. So I encourage you all to have a feel into what your internal being is saying. Is this a fuck yes? Is this a fuck no? Is this a I want to know more, but I'm scared? If there's any part of you that wants to know more about it, then make sure to slide into my DMs or contact me through email at contact@sigridtasius.com. That's just my name and last name.com. And let me know that you are interested. At this point, we only have 5 spots left available. I'm taking a very small group of people with me this time. So I definitely encourage you to reach out sooner rather than later and let me know that there is something in you that feels ready and willing to go through this powerful AF process. So I'm very excited to have conversations with some of you, take some of you in this powerful journey. And as always, thank you for listening. Thank you for being here every week in the podcast. And I will be connecting with all of you next week on our next episode. Lots and lots of love.